when we approach the Seder night, it's good to have a list. Mm-hmm. It's good to have a list of what you have to clean. It's good to have a list of what you have to prepare. I will give you in the next class, God willing, a pamphlet that I put out on how to run a Seder. And over there, we have a shortened list of what to prepare. But one of the ways we can remember what we're going to do on this night is by going through the song. We have 14 things which describe, they're really 15. 14, 15 that describe what we're doing on the night. We also have the Seder plate, which we'll discuss in a minute. So, you see it on page 3 in these Agadot. Kahadesh, we'll explain each, okay, we'll sing and then explain each one. Kahadesh, uchatz, kahapas, yachatz. Mahagid rachza motzi matza maro korech shulchan orech tzachon barech hahalel nirza. Okay, so what is this? This is an outline of what we're going to do on the Seder night. Kadesh, who knows what's Kadesh?
Kiddush.
Yeah. We're going to make Kiddush. Okay, now who can explain a little bit better than that? What are we doing in Kiddush? We're going to have 4 cups of grape juice or wine on this night. So the first of the 4 cups is going to be with Kiddush. We try to align each of the cups with a different mitzvah. So our rabbis instituted a rabbinic institution to drink 4 cups as a way of showing that we're free men. And we don't just drink in Judaism, right? We drink for the sake of a mitzvah. So the first cup is going to be Kadesh. We're going to drink it with Kiddush. What is Kiddush? So it begins with the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen. And then a blessing of the sanctity of the day. We speak about how holy and unique and special this day is to us. Marcel, I think that's enough for now. Yishar koach. So, Kadesh, well, okay, what do we need for Kiddush? We need grape juice or wine. Which one should you take? I strongly recommend grape juice. Even though there's a halachic preference to wine, but experience has taught us that ordinarily on the eve of Pesach, you don't have too much to eat. People are busy and there isn't so much you can eat. You can't eat matzah, you can't eat chametz. There's very little you can eat. You're walking into the Seder and you're pretty hungry. And then you're going to drink a cup of wine on an empty stomach. And then you're going to drink a second cup of wine because we drink the first 2 cups before the meal. And even though we've had at our Seder probably over 100 guests by now, and many of the guests claim, I can handle it, don't worry, I got no problem. And even though people, under other circumstances, people really can carry their liquor, what we've seen is that very often, people who drink even a little bit of wine will end up falling asleep before the Seder's over or getting tipsy. We've had drunk people at our Seder too, where people in the middle of the Seder became very funny. And then they became very sad. You know, that's the way drunkenness goes. You begin, you're very... And then you see these people sitting in the corner, like, talking to themselves. Okay, at any rate, that's not what the Seder is supposed to look like. So that's why my recommendation is, don't take the light wines, take grape juice. If you insist, you want to observe that halachic opinion that you should have a little bit of alcohol, so I say mix, but mix very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. The first cup should have 3/4 grape juice and 1/4 wine. Second cup, same thing. By the third cup, you've already passed most of the Seder. You're already at the final half. Okay, then you want to tell me you're gonna take a little bit more alcoholic. I wouldn't, because I think the end of the Seder is the most fun part for the kids. It's the most memorable part for the kids. I think you're really losing a lot if you end up falling asleep instead of running through the end of the Seder. But, okay, I'm saying if you go 3/4 grape juice and 1/4 wine and you don't finish the cups. Again, people sometimes are very thirsty and they drink the full cup. Who said you have to drink full cup? The most stringent opinion says you have to drink 51%, just more than 50% of the cup. So again, every year we have people who finish the cup, they're thirsty. I say drink water. You're allowed to drink water during the Seder. So drink water. Don't drink a full cup of even grape juice with diluted wine. So again, people usually don't listen to me and they pay the price. Do it any other night. On this night, it's so important. You're giving your whole heritage to your kids. So Kadesh, we make Kiddush. Kiddush is, number 1, a blessing on the grape juice. It's the first cup. Number 2, it's a blessing on the day. We speak about the fact that God chose us among the nations and gave us this beautiful day of Pesach. And number three, we conclude with a blessing of Shechayonu. As with every Yom Tiv, we begin with a blessing, thanking God that we made it to this day. And then we're going to drink. We have to remember that whenever we drink the four cups of wine, we recline on our left side. Now, a word about reclining. People will usually do something like this. They sit with the back of the chair behind them. They know they have to lean to the left, so they lean into the air. Now, this is very uncomfortable and unrealistic. You want to really recline, you turn the chair to your left. You recline on the side of the chair. You guys should bring your pillows to the next class when we're actually going to do this. And then you drink with a recline, and it makes a little bit of sense. If you're reclining into the air, that's not called reclining.
On the table?
On the table isn't reclining because it's leaning forward. You got to lean to your side. You lean to the side, shift the chair, and lean. So that's we're going to see that with the things that reflect freedom on this night. So we recline as we do them. Tonight we're showing we're all free men. That's what we're showing our kids. That's what we're showing ourselves. So Kaddish, again, in a nutshell, Kaddish is we're going to make Kiddush, which includes a blessing on the grape juice, a blessing on the day, a blessing of Shehechiyanu. We're going to drink the first of the four cups. My recommendation is it should be grape juice and not wine, if you insist. So have 3/4 grape juice, 1/4 wine. And we know we need grape juice for the night. How much does the average person drink? Our experience is you need a bottle per person. That's our experience at the Seder. You need almost a bottle per person because it's four cups. And even though people shouldn't be finishing their cups, very often people do, our experience is you need a standard bottle per person.
You shouldn't finish your cup?
I don't recommend it because it'll knock you out. I say drink water, drink coffee, drink juice. Other things. If it's grape juice, fine. I'll tell you, matzah and grape juice are not the best combination on a stomach.
Wow.
So even that, my recommendation would be drink water. You know, you have an empty stomach, you've barely eaten the last day. And usually the last 2 or 3 days, because towards Pesach you have less and less normal food to eat. And then you're going to have grape juice. And matzah, it's hard on the stomach. And maror, don't forget, you're eating... okay, so if you eat the gentle maror, fine, but...
The tears come out of your
eyes. What is gentle maror?
Okay, so here I'm just waiting for Akiva to show up, and then we're going to discuss maror a little bit. So Kadesh, then Urchatz. We wash our hands. We're not washing for the meal, surprise. We're washing because we want to be like free men. And we want to show like the temple days when you're going to dip a vegetable in water. So you wash your hands before you do that. So Urchatz, we wash our hands without a blessing. If you're going to eat a wet vegetable or a wet fruit, you wash your hands beforehand. So Urchatz, we wash our hands. So we need to have water to be able to wash our hands on the Seder night. It is customary that the head of the table has someone else washing his hands for him. It is also customary that when we pour the grape juice or wine, someone else pours for us. This is part of being free men. So Kaddish, we make Kiddush. How do you have that first cup? Have someone else pour it for you. You pour it for the next guy. Okay, in some houses, you guys are going to be guests. In some houses, Kadesh, only the head of the house has other people pouring for him. Out of modesty, a man should not pour for a woman. A woman should not pour for a man. Men pour for men and women pour for women.
For spouses?
Spouses can do that, right? It's part of the love that's supposed to be between them, provided they're permitted. Urchatz, we wash our hands. Karpas, what's karpas? So our sages instituted that we should do funny things on this night so as to pique the kids' curiosity. So they instituted a thing called karpas. Karpas literally means celery. What karpas is, you take a vegetable, you dip it, and you eat it. And what you want is to cause the kid to wonder, hey, wait a second, what are we eating salad? What are we dipping food for? We didn't start the meal. I know what Shabbos and Yom Tov look like. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you made Kiddush, you make hamotzi. Why aren't you making hamotzi? What are we doing dipping vegetables? And he gets this little piece of a vegetable and dips it in. So for karpas, what you really need is any green vegetable that's eaten raw. You could have celery, you could have a pepper, you could have a cucumber, you could have anything. You should not eat something that's too filling. Now, traditionally, we eat a small amount for karpas because that's the whole idea of it. Practically, most people are famished when they come to the Seder. So people want to gobble down all the karpas that's there, especially if you're going to have baked potatoes. So as you mature in your Judaism, you will, Bezrat Hashem, down the road attain the level where you're fine eating a small volume for karpas. The only thing is, if you're sitting at an Orthodox nitpicky family, then they might look at you weird, like, why are you finishing everyone else's karpas? So just be prepared. Technically, halachically, there is a preference to eat a small volume, less than the volume of an olive. When we make the ha'adama on karpas, we have in mind that we're making ha'adama on this vegetable, plus the maror, which we're going to eat later on in the meal. But if you're at my house, I don't say anything. We put out enough for people to eat as much as they like, because I'm well aware of the hardship when a person isn't accustomed to it. You come, you're hungry. What's going on? Why are you giving me only this? We've already sat at the Seder where we had some people we didn't know. Like our Seder was very open in the first years. Unfortunately, we can't do it anymore. And a guy starts stomping on the table. I don't get it. I was told I'm coming here for a meal. This is all you're giving? Okay, so right. Great question. That's exactly the idea. We're eating a little bit of a vegetable. Now, we're still going to have the whole magid. We're still going to discuss the whole story of the Seder before we start the meal. So he had the right idea. He said, you know, I smell meat. I smell other stuff. What's going on here? Oh, great. You're asking questions. That's exactly why we're doing this. To get you to ask questions. Okay, so... So that's a good question. If you're going to eat a large volume, then you probably should make an after blessing. Yachatz. The next thing we do is we break the matzah. We're about to begin magid. So we break the matzah because we say the magid, the recounting of the story of the Seder, should be said when you have matzah, poor man's bread, in front of you. Now, a poor man can't afford these whole matzahs. He takes scraps. So part of what we're showing is that the matzah reflects our impoverished state. And so we break the matzah. We're going to have a half a matzah. Ordinarily, you come to a Shabbos meal, you have two whole loaves of bread. Here you're going to have a half a piece of bread. Now, what do? Now comes the afikoman. We take the larger piece, we put it in a bag. We take the smaller half, we leave it on the table. So now... What are we really telling the kid? You know, this larger piece of matzah, this reflects everything that Egypt meant to me. And if you would take it from me, if someone would take it from me, I'd give them anything to get it back. This is so precious to me. And then we're encouraging the kids, actually, they're already well-educated, well-trained, that they have to steal the afikoman. Don't let them get away with it too fast, because this is one of the ways we keep them awake throughout the night. So now we need matzah. When you buy matzah, make sure, we said we're going over our grocery supplies. What do I need? Kaddish, we need kiddish. Okay, so we need grape juice. Urchatz, we need water to wash our hands. Karpas, we need a vegetable to dip into salt water. Okay, so we need salt water. Salt water should be prepared before Yom Tiv. So we're going to prepare salt water. Akiva, do we have salt? Not yet. Okay. Okay, so we'll make salt water in a minute. Yachatz, we break the middle. Matzah, magid, we come up to the part where we're going to tell over the whole story of the Seder. And the rest we're going to leave for when we start the Seder, because we got to finish our preparation. So let's just review the song and what it means. Kadesh uchatz, kalpas yachatz, magid rachza, motzi matzah. Marokorech, Shulchan Orech, Tzafun Barech, Halel Nirza again, Kadesh, Uchatz, Karpas Yachatz, Magid Rachza, Motzi Matza. Marokorech, Shulchan Orech, Tzafon Barech, Halel Nirza. So what we know so far, we need a cup of grape juice for Kaddish. We need 4 cups. We're going to drink 4 cups tonight. We need Urchatz. We need to wash our hands. We need Karpas. We need a vegetable. What vegetable do we have? We have green pepper, I think. And we need salt water. It doesn't have to be green. It could be any other vegetable too that's eaten raw. Potatoes is a bad idea because that's cooked. You want a vegetable you could eat raw. Just a second. Yachatz, we're going to divide the middle matzah. So we need matzahs. I brought a bunch. By the way, for the Seder night, you need shmura matzah. The rest of the Pesach, you could have regular matzah. Regular matzah you could buy for 15 shekel for 2.5 kilo. That'll last you the whole Pesach. I'll show you the box I just bought it for 15 shekel.
Where do you get it?
Regular stores, Rami Levi, all the stores around there have it. For the Seder night, you need shmura matzah. Matzah that's been watched for the sake of the mitzvah from the time of harvesting. So you guys have your handmade matzah that you made, those of you who did, and those of you who didn't. So you can buy shmura matzah today. It's very cheap. A lot of stores have it for 25 shekel a box.
That's it?
Yeah, very cheap. Now, machine matzah, but that's also kosher. Doesn't have to be
machine
hand. Shmura. Yeah? Machine Shmura. Okay, so Yachatz, we divided the middle matzah. Magid, you got to have a Haggadah. So I gave out, anyone who didn't get one can get a free Hebrew Haggadah. I recommend you get one with an English translation. These ones I need to keep, the English translator one. Rachta, we're going to wash our hands for the meal. Motzi, we're going to make a blessing of a motzi. Matzah, we're going to make a blessing on eating of the matzah. Maror. Akiva, I waited for you on this one. What is maror? Maror. I didn't want you to miss. I figured maror is a species. It encompasses five types. We have five plants, five types of plants that are named in the Mishnah. So our best one is lettuce. The problem with lettuce is that it gets infested with bugs that are green and difficult to notice on the lettuce plant. That's why when you offered to clean lettuce and let me check it, that's very hard. So it's not that they're indiscernible, it's that they're camouflaged. If you put them on your hand, you'd see it's a bug. On the green leaf, it's hard to notice. So that's why we buy what they call Gush Katif lettuce. What's important to note is that the Gush Katif lettuce has bugs too. It has different bugs. It has bugs that during the processing they get onto it, and you have to wash it. That's why they say rinse it for 3 minutes and wash it. It's not enough to take it out of the bag and eat it. Now, Dole, in the United States, those of you who are American, you know Dole has lettuce that's pre-washed. That's a different deal. If it has an OU or a Star K, so that pre-washed lettuce can be fine. You have to make sure which lettuce it is to make sure it's kosher for Passover. But they... They have different formulas on how to do it. Each one can check with their local Orthodox rabbi in their location how they would clean the lettuce. I'm saying again, you can get from Dole pre-cut, pre-washed lettuce, which it has a hechsher on it. If it has a hechsher, so then you know it's clean. The OU, the Star K, their stuff is fine. Here in Israel, I don't think they sell that. I think you only have the Gush Katif brand. And that involves soaking for 3 minutes in soap water and then washing it off. And that's important because the leaves actually do have some bugs on them. It's not the same bugs as you'd have if you'd buy it at the market. If you'd buy it at the market, then there's a whole process. Like Uri mentioned, special soap water you have to put it in to get it clean. But if you're buying the Gush Katif brand, so then it's only a few bugs that will come off this way. Those are easier to get rid of. So we have that. We're going to deal with that in a minute. Now, for maror, you need one of the five species. You can't just buy anything that's bitter. Now, maror is not kosher if it's been sitting in vinegar. We have a halachic concept called kavush kimivushal. If something's been sitting in vinegar or some other sharp liquid for 24 hours, it's as though it was cooked. So if you buy what they sell in the stores very often, right, I saw many people who take, I don't want to say it on the recording, So, the simplest way is to make it yourself or get the lettuce. Lettuce is more palatable. For the kids, you should get the lettuce. My tradition is that I use horseradish. Mm-hmm. So at my Seder, we buy horseradish, we peel it, we clean it. We buy the root of a horseradish, and then we grind it. Now, if you leave it out in the open for a few hours after you've ground it, so it's not so sharp when you eat it on the Seder night, that's okay. Our sages say that maror on its own can be very harmful to a person. So our sages say you should dip the maror in the charoses. So we're going to make charoses in a minute. That's why we ground that. We peeled and grated the apples. What you do is you mix dates, apples, walnuts, and grape juice or wine. So we have here date spread. They did the job for us. We're going to mix the date spread with the ground apples, with the cinnamon and the wine, and you'll see it'll come out to a yummy mixture. It's supposed to remind us of the mortar. The hardest work we did in Egypt was with the mortar. That was the most difficult task we had in Egypt, and our tradition is that because we were suffering so badly with the mortar, that's why God heard our prayers, meaning that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Traditionally, they would place sticks of cinnamon on the charoses to resemble the stalks of hay. Today, I've yet to find a store that sells kosher for Passover sticks of cinnamon. Must be something in the processing. You could buy ground cinnamon kosher for Passover, but sticks of cinnamon I've yet to find with a kosher for Passover. I looked through the shuk. I looked in many places. I haven't found it.
What's problematic?
Just a second. I don't know. It could be they coat it with flour as part of of saving it so it doesn't rot. I'm not sure what... I don't know what's problematic, but I haven't found it yet. Yes?
In regards to the
regards to our own, or our seders, you're saying, you know, bring matzah and, you know, like gold's maror is not kosher for Passover. Well, kosher as maror.
Yeah.
Whoops. I'm saying most of us are going to somebody else's seder.
Okay, in a minute we'll address that. Let's get that in 1 second. Korech, we make a sandwich. It used to be that they'd eat as a sandwich the Paschal offering together with the matzah and the maror. Today, we don't have a Paschal offering, so we commemorate it. We make a sandwich. And then Shulchan Aruch, we have a meal. At the end of the meal, we do tzofen. We take out the hidden matzah. We tell the kid, hey, what do you want? Let's make a deal. We get back our afikomen. And then we barech, we bench. We say Hallel, we conclude the Hallel, and the songs ask about the future. The Seder is divided into two. The first half before the meal recounts what happened previously in Egypt. The second half after the meal looks forward to the coming redemption. So those are the two parts of the Seder. Now, the question was asked, what am I doing? I'm at someone else's Seder. So I think you have to ask your host if it's okay. Come in, Yechiel. If it's okay to bring your own wine, to bring grape juice, it helps defray the cost. Think about it. If every guest is another bottle, if you're getting good stuff, so let's say a bottle is 15, 20 shekel, the cheapest, every guest is a half a box of matzah, add to that a little bit of meat and everything else, the average guest is going to cost your host around 50 to 80 shekel, right? So think about it. You have 10 guests, that's almost 1,000 shekel. It's nice if you offer, and that's just one meal. You still have the whole Seder ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So it's nice if you call and you offer, can I bring grape juice? Could I bring wine? Could I bring matzah? Most hosts will tell you not to. You should bring your own goblet. Usually there's a shortage of goblets. You should get your own kiddush cup. You should bring your own haggadah and your own pillow. Most of the time people spill on the haggadah. Most of the time people spill on the pillow. So you should bring your own pillow and your own haggadah. The other stuff, if you can offer, it's nice. One thing you should be careful is make sure it's kosher for Passover and it's a hechsher that your host feels comfortable with. Mm-hmm. We were once holding where everyone had washed and we were about to make hamotzi, and suddenly someone shows me a bottle of wine that one of the guests brought and shows me it doesn't say kosher for Passover. So all our plates, all over our table, we have this wine that spilled, you know, the way it goes at a Seder table. Spills a little here, spills a little there. It's on your plate, it's on everything. And it's not kosher for Passover. So suddenly we stopped the Seder in silence. No one could talk, right? We just washed. We had to change the tablecloth. Throw out everything we had. Were you there that year? Throw out everything we had on the table. Get a real balagan. And I promised myself I'm never again accepting from a guest another bottle or anything. Don't do me favors. I don't want anything. You know, and this was a knowledgeable guest. He was really a great guy. At the end of the Seder, everyone's leaving, and someone points out to me the bottle's still on the floor, the bottle of that wine. So I said, okay, I'll take it, I'll throw it out, because if this isn't kosher for Passover. I go out into better lighting, and I see that they wrote, like, black ink on a black picture, kosher for Passover. We had missed it. After, you know, we took 45 minutes, we lost from the Seder. Dealing with getting rid of everything, turns out he hadn't messed up at all. He was okay. We hadn't seen it. Okay, I'm just saying, but the lesson is still important. You never know what your host is comfortable with. Check with them if it's okay. Don't give them surprises.
But that's Rosh Hashanah, you're always safe, right?
I don't know. There's politics everywhere. Okay, bring your own haggadah, bring your own pillow, and bring your own goblet. Make sure your goblet is kosher for Passover. Now we got 5 to 10 minutes. Let's go through the preparations for the